I've looked forward to this for a year now. We invited him a year ago to come and be in this meeting. As some of us are getting a little older in the ministry, nothing is more encouraging than seeing younger pastors decide to walk in the old paths that Jeremiah talked about. And this man has done that. He's got an exciting church, but without compromise. And unbelievable, a local outreach through a tremendous bus ministry, has a regional outreach through our time. Several of you have participated in that. He may say a word about that tomorrow. And through the Christmas play out there every year, attracts just thousands of people. You're talking about a town of 6,500 in a rural area in Iowa. It's just tremendous, tremendous missions program supporting I don't know how many missionaries around the world. And it's just an exciting place to be. And so I'm thrilled that he's here tonight. I mean that with all of my heart. And so I want you to give your undivided attention to him and listen carefully. He'll have something to say from God's book to you after Brother Tharp sings. Brother Tharp, thank you, brother.
What has happened to a nation that used to fear the Lord, to a people whose foundation was built upon God's Word? We've allowed the world's opinion to chart a different way, but it's time the Church of Jesus Christ should boldly stand and say, God's Word will stand against the raging tide of those who criticize and work their evil plans. God's Word will stand against the gates of hell with power to prevail in the hearts of man. God's Word will stand. They can take it from the courthouse walls, remove it from the schools, teach our children that we're animals, speak against the golden rule, try and hide our Christian heritage from the public eye. But they'll never overcome God's Word, no matter how they try. God's Word will stand against the raging tide of those who criticize and work their evil plans. God's Word will stand against the gates of hell with power to prevail in the hearts of man. God's Word will stand. It's forever settled, forevermore endured. It's the only way a sinner's heart could ever be made pure. God's Word will stand against the raging tide of those who criticize and work their evil plans. God's Word will stand against the gates of hell with power to prevail in the hearts of man. God's Word will stand. God's Word will stand. God's Word will stand.
Made it. Thank you so much. Get your Bibles out tonight. It is preaching time, and it has been good to be here. I've been revived already and encouraged just by all the music from the opening congregational song. And thank you, Faith Baptist Church, for filling up the parking lot, for being here, and all of the schools and teams on a Wednesday night. when churches are shutting down and you drive past parking lots and everybody's just kind of having a little small group. Here's a place that's on fire, and this is a revival, and I've been encouraged. I was telling Charity, we need to sing this, we need to sing that. And, man, I've just been encouraged by being here tonight. Thank you for your spirit. And then seeing the two groups that sung already, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. And just seeing the potential in the heart for the Lord already, I can look in your eyes and know that many of you, if not all of you, you truly want to serve the Lord. And so I've just been encouraged by being here tonight. You know, I really believe that I'm here tonight because of a prayer that was prayed at a camp way up in Michigan. I walked into an old chapel where they were having a morning camp service, and they had had something called prayer hands the night before, where the youth pastor had put hands on the wall, cutouts of hands on the wall, and had asked the teenagers to write their prayer requests and their burdens. And this was a church camp, and these were church kids that were at the camp. And I was just preaching that one morning, happened to be there, and so I was just walking through, just kind of out of curiosity, reading the hands, and was getting ready to pray for that morning. And as I read those hands, I found myself on my knees just bawling, just crying. Nobody else was in there. I was just crying at the burdens, at the prayer requests of those young people. And I was encouraged because they wanted to live for the Lord and they wanted to do what was right. But so many burdens on the hearts of young people. I mean, I read things like help my mom and dad to stop fighting. And I read things like pornography, and I read things like bullying and molestation, all kinds of horrible things. And I thought, this is a church camp. And I fell to my knees and began to cry and pray. And I said, Lord, you know, I have seven children at home. My son, my oldest, is turning 12. He's going into seventh grade this year. I said, Lord, if you will allow me to help just one of these teenagers or any other teenager out there, I'll do whatever you lead me to do. And I believe that's why, Pastor Angel, that you've called for me to be here tonight, is that God has a message for you. And I care about each and every one of you. I really do. I sat where you sat not long ago, and I'm excited about your future. I care about your future, and I'm grateful for all the workers who have invested the time. It gives us hope and encouragement for our children to follow. And I hope that they get to come over and be a part of something like this and be around all these young people. So thank you for your work. And I really appreciate all your investment so far into the conference. And then, of course, just being here is really an emotional time for me, because Pastor Angel and Mrs. Angel just mean more than I could ever describe. Of course, all the years at Cedar River growing up, matter of fact, just Sunday night, I preached on the offering of your free will. And I talked about giving up my will. And though I grew up in a Christian home, incredible Christian home, you know, there's that process of giving up your will. I had given up decisions and made decisions, but giving up your will. And I talked about that Thursday night decision and several decisions while Pastor Angel preached. And then the mark of the angels on our church is just incredible. It's been, I don't know how many years, but there's rarely a service goes by that Pastor Angel's mark is not seen through our church. Matter of fact, we just had Vision Night. And right before Vision Night, the secretary got a phone call from a man who had been an alcoholic. He's going through the program, and he said, man, I'm behind a bus. And he said, it's been all these years ago since I thought about a little boy when my mom would send me on the bus so that I wouldn't have to be home when my dad got home and there was the beating and the fighting. And he said, I remember a bus captain. I don't remember his last name. I don't remember anything other than that his name was Brother Terry, and that he cared about us and that he loved us. He came to Vision Night and gave his testimony. And God's doing a great work in his life from all those years ago. And so I thank God, of course, for the Angel family and Brother John Christner. Many of you know him if you're from Faith Baptist Church. Brother John and Miss Nellie, I remember riding around selling Mormon feed all those years, and then going bus calling. And it made a mark on my life. To this day, for my children, I think about the sign that was on the back of, back in the day, they called him Brother Terry, Pastor Angel's door. It said, "The decision, Terry, the decisions you make today will affect Ben and Hannah's tomorrow." And it was a little picture of Ben and Hannah. You don't know how that's impacted my life. And just people will say, you know, Brother Terry used to say. And how many years has it been? 25, 32 years. And the influence and mark is still upon our church. That has meant the world to me and has challenged and stirred me. And when I hear him say, Brother Brown is my dad. And I just, something comes over me and I say, well, it's good to be under the spout where the glory comes out. Now, how long do I have to preach tonight, Brother Terry? How long do I have to preach? Well, the big wheel's about to get tangled up with the little wheel. I think Amnon had a friend tonight. No, we won't go. But that's what I think of when I think of Brother Brown. Oh, so much I'd like to say tonight. I really would. I'm thrilled to have my wife, Charity, with me tonight. This is a special time, and I'll say a little bit more tomorrow about my gratefulness for this place and for Brother Angel and the testimony of this place and so many friends all over. I like to be around God's people, and I'm so grateful. You know, Brother Bragg was helping Brother Angel decide who to preach for this year's Pilots Convention. He said, we need to have the smartest preacher that we can find. And so they placed that phone call, and they got turned down. And so Brother Raritan up here running the sound, he said, we need to have the best looking preacher. We need to have, you know, not that he'd know anything about it, but we need to have the best looking preacher. And so they placed that phone call and they got turned down again. And so they said, you know, we need to have the best preacher. I mean, somebody who can just tear it up. And so they called trying to get that preacher. And sure enough, they got turned down again. So finally, Brother Angel said, we just need to call the most humble man we can find, the most humble preacher. And when I got that call, you know, about humility, I just had to say yes because I felt bad turning down the first three calls about that. So I do appreciate being here tonight. Get your Bibles out tonight. How many of you know who made this statement right here? He alone who owns the youth gains the future. How many of you know who made that statement? Say it out loud if you know who made that statement. Adolf Hitler made that statement. In 1933, there were 50,000 Hitler youths. You can see them here in this video marching. They were as young as 7 and 8. They were excited about a new economy, a new vision, a new way. It was exciting. It was bright. It was defined by one word, life and vision and future. And they were drawn in, or the word I would use, enticed in. And it was an exciting time in 1933. So exciting that by the end of 1933, there were 2 million Hitler youth. From 50,000 at the beginning to 2 million Hitler youth. But all of that vision and all of that excitement led to this right here. Those people did that. And it led to this and this. And we could do that all night long and see millions upon millions upon millions of young people. Why? Because not because of Adolf Hitler, but because of Satan. Satan is a destroyer. James chapter 1 and verse 14, we're not turning there yet, says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. You can see the character of Satan in Halloween compared to us celebrating the birth of Christ. Revelation chapter number 12 in the Bible tonight. Revelation chapter number 12. You're going to see that Satan specifically hates young people. Jesus loves the little children and has vision and cares about what is happening here tonight. And mom and dad, I want you to understand that everything Jesus loves and everything that Jesus wants and everything that Jesus is trying to draw near because of their future and because of their purpose and because of their impact, the devil wants that for himself. And we see in Revelation chapter number 12 that every scripture has a direct interpretation. And then every scripture can have an application or should have an application. And then there are illustrations from the scripture. In this scripture that we're about ready to read, it is a twofold prophecy about the Jewish people in the end times, but also about the birth of Christ. Let's read it together. Would you mind standing to your feet in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 1? And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And verse 4 says, "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered." Now, who is this talking about here tonight? Young people, you see it, don't you? You understand there, the third of heaven, the fallen angels, the demons. We see Satan here. And now you are going to see the character of Satan. As we know, the character of God is love, and he cares about you. And he loves you far beyond what our little human minds can ever comprehend. But there is a Satan that hates you and desires you and wants you far beyond what our little minds can comprehend. Look at the character of Satan. "For to devour her what? Child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne." I will not be teaching the doctrinal application of this passage of Scripture, though I will mention about the birth of Jesus Christ and what happened surrounding that. I want to look at the character of Satan tonight in regards to little children and in regards to young people. Father, bless us, I pray. Speak to our hearts. Hide us behind the cross. When we leave here, may we not remember the method. May we not remember the messenger, but may we remember the Holy Spirit of God, the truth, the Word of God that did something in our heart that only you can do. Bless us, I pray. Please bind Satan. And may we be encouraged when we leave this room and challenged and courageous. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The devil is waiting to devour every child that's in this room, every teenager, from the 12th grader in the Christian school to the 7th grader, on down to the little children in the nursery tonight. And the world likes to paint this world, the culture likes to paint this world like a Disneyland where we all get along and everything's hunky-dory. And I've heard people say, you know, you believe that there's a devil or a demon behind every bush. And I would say, no, I don't think that that's so. I believe there's a thousand behind every bush. The Bible says, "Be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour." The devil is your enemy, and he is very real today in your life. As you study the scriptures, you see that he wants your life. You see that Jesus was just a baby when, in history, when I went to Israel, they weren't even talking about the Bible, and they brought up a great historical event called the murder of the what? Does anybody know? The murder of the innocents. This was talking about how all the little baby boys in that region were slaughtered. We're talking about beheaded. We're talking about gutted. We're talking about killed in the most horrific ways to make a statement that this new king would not come to power. That was the character of Satan. And then you remember Moses. His parents had to hide him in the bulrushes. His parents had to hide him. Why? Because it was not Pharaoh killing. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. We wrestle against Satan. And his heart was to destroy these little children before they could grow into something that could possibly hurt his cause. And so there was weeping and crying and little babies being slaughtered left and right. That's who the devil is. I stood looking over the valley of Hinnom, and we heard about Molech and all of the child sacrifice. Matter of fact, if you study Jericho and the walls falling in Jericho, you'll find that one of the two major reasons that they had to be utterly wiped out there in the promised land was because of their pagan practices, of which one in Deuteronomy tells us was child sacrifice. How they would take little children and offer them to Molech and to the fires of Molech, to hear the screams of a little innocent child. That's the heart of Satan. And down through history in pagan lands, back when they would go in and the David Livingstons of the world and Robert Moffats, they would go into the dark continents and they would see parents who thought that they were worshiping God. But we know they weren't worshiping God because to express their worship and their commitment and their adoration, they were taking their little innocent babies, nothing wrong with them, and throwing them in the river to the crocodiles. That is the heart and that is the character of Satan. David encountered many, many enemies in his life. But the greatest enemy to destroy his future, to destroy his life, was Goliath. And Goliath spitting out of his mouth the very words of Satan, trying to conquer little David. The Bible says when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a what? Youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. Satan stirred up Joseph's brothers to kill him when he was young, before he could go on to carry out the plan that God had for his life. And then Samson, the Bible says, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. The very next verse says, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. This wasn't just any woman. No, this was a woman placed there by Satan. Like when we read about in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 7, that they discerned among the youths a simple man passing by her way. And now is she without, standing on the street corner, all orchestrated by Satan. In 2 Kings, in chapter, in the book of 2 Kings, I don't want you to turn there. In 2 Kings, we read in 2 verses an amazing story about how Elisha has just seen Elijah go up in a chariot of fire. And now Elisha has the mantle and he's going to take forward the work of God. And he's going to Bethel, which has been set up by Jeroboam as basically a place of blasphemy to God and a substitute for Jerusalem and a place of Baal worship. And there were 42 people that met him before he came to Bethel. And 42 people were so dominated and given over to Satan that they were mocking him, saying, "Go up. Go up just like Elijah did. Get on out of here." They were so owned by Satan. The Bible says, "He that hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Here is the Old Testament picture of that. And these 42 people, you know what the Bible calls them? Little children. So owned, so these were the children of these pagan, false, the sons of the prophets, the false sons of the prophet. And the Bible teaches us time and time and time and time again that the devil punches early. He wants our youth from cover to cover, from God's children to Adam and Eve's children, all throughout the Bible, the Isaacs and Ishmaels, and all throughout the scriptures. You see that because the devil hates young people. All the fads that come out of Hollywood or culture are geared towards the youth. All of them. All of the clothing are geared to entice and attract and to trendset with the youth. All of the hairstyles are for the youth. All of the false churches are geared and programmed for the youth. They know that they're going to lose grandma's money, but they don't care. And they don't know why they don't care. But they don't care because there is a greater power working behind them. All of the false Bibles are all geared toward the youth to read it better, to be more relevant. Who cares that grandma still likes the old archaic ancient text? They will say it's all geared towards the young people. All of the movies are geared towards the young people. All of the commercials are geared towards the young people. It's not about medicine or snoring at night. It's going to be about, the commercials are going to be for young people. All of the social media is geared towards young people. They know when a 14-year-old boy gets on the phone and they're going crazy and they're at TikTok. They're young. They're trying to figure everything out. And some foolish parent gives them that. And they get on there. They know how long you look at a picture. And a 14-year-old sees a girl maybe dressed the way she shouldn't dress. That's all I'll say. And they target that. And it is proven time and time again that they begin to pump that feed and pump that feed until they hit like. And once they hit like, it is, you can't get out of it. If they have an email, which they had to have to set up, the email is bombarded. If they have a Facebook account, the Facebook account is bombarded. They are satanic algorithms that even the elites of Silicon Valley are not smart enough to come up with. People have made statements that are in the world, the creators of Facebook, they say, "We don't even let our children do it because it's so powerful. It's so," they're almost coming to the point of using the word demonic. They can't even hardly understand how addictive and how powerful it is to warp and destroy minds. And these are lost people. It's like the musicians that say, the Katy Perrys who stand on the platform and say, and I quote, "When I began to sing, I could have felt normal. I could have walked out to that stage just feeling kind of grumpy or off. The moment I began to sing those songs, something comes over me. A power comes over me." And we see that in all of the social media. Imagine a little girl or a little boy beginning to see something and eventually, "Yeah, I do like that. Do you like that? Do you like that?" They can read it. They can see it. They can follow it. And it is satanic. All of the media is geared towards our young people. All of the drug culture, the sorcery, the witchcraft. It's so weird in the latter days that every once in a while they're showing their true selves, their selves. And every once in a while, we as preachers and God help us parents begin to see, wait a minute. Maybe what these preachers have been preaching about for years. And I've heard people say, man, your dad busting those televisions. I used to think that was crazy. And all of a sudden people are starting to say, wait a minute, what's going on now? And now we see CNN writing the headlines. We are now living in the saddest generation that has ever lived. The saddest generation of young people that ever lived, right? It's 35, 40 minutes from us, Iowa City, Iowa. You see this everywhere. It's a pandemic. They're not talking about it. It's out of control. Teen suicide is at an all-time high. You can be grateful that you're in a good Christian school and a good church, but be sober, be vigilant, because he wants you even more than he wants him, because he is the ultimate adulterer hunting for the precious lives. And I just read week before last, you see it everywhere in our small towns. We've had them. It's out of control. People are not talking about it. People are trying to keep it, you know, suppressed, the amount of suicide. And the word, Pastor Angel, is mental health. And I understand that there are some people with true mental health like we used to know years and years ago. But now that is a cover up word. And here's a young lady writing from Iowa City. I'm touching people and helping people and giving them resources I didn't have. She says the nonprofit supplies schools and events with pamphlets, bracelets, T-shirts that advocates for mental health and provides people with resources to use in a crisis. She's talking about here, every once in a while you peel back, she's talking about right there in Iowa City, all of the crisis of the mental health of people wanting to commit suicide. All of the satanic education system is geared towards the young people. Of course, the evolution for years that you're not important, that you don't, there is no God. Why? So that you'll run to Satan. The critical race theory, all of this stuff, the chaos, it is all to create, I even think some of this COVID stuff, though COVID's real, I think it is to suppress the future of the young people so that people would turn away from God and to Satan. All of the music is geared towards young people. I mean, God created Satan to be that divine cherub that covereth. He created him with pipes and vials. He was a musical instrument. He was the lead worship leader in heaven, and he uses that as a powerful, powerful tool. One of the top country songs out there is a song called Old Town Road. And it's so popular out there, and so many young people. And the devil does like he does with all the music. He starts out with the cute little, and I hope you don't know these names from back in the day, but the Hannah Montanas, only to turn them out to see hundreds of thousands of young ladies on drugs, suicidal, cutting, taking their life because they didn't see the enticement. They were just drawn away of their own lust of, hey, I just want to do what I want to do, not realizing that Satan was working behind. You say, oh, come on, is it really that big of a deal? Yeah, absolutely it is. Montero Lamar Hill helped write Old Town Road, this country song, which, by the way, there is a big satanic mesh up with country songs. And you know, I know a lot of kids in Christian churches, they say, oh, it's not that bad. And I hope here in this church that that is not an issue. But if you're a young person sitting here, you need to understand that the devil will use anything he can get his hands on when you are living in rebellion to open a door to that which he can infiltrate. Here's Montero Lamar Hill with his shoe that he sold. And when they finally, by the way, they sold out. It was already, they couldn't make them fast enough. When the public began to find out about it, then Nike had to say, okay, we won't sell them anymore. It's got human blood in the sole. Of course, 666. The stuff that this man is involved in, I could never show you. And you shouldn't research it. Satanic rituals far darker than anything that you could read in the Bible. Horrific. And he is promoted. So Little Nas X is his stage name. So and by the way, parents here tonight, I'm not here tonight trying to inform your children of things that they don't need to know about. They're out there. They're going to hear it. Let me tell you something tonight. We need to be warned of it. Luke 10:18, he says, and I beheld Satan or Lucifer fall like lightning from heaven. That's that verse right there. Say, is it really that big of a deal? Sure, because we're hearing this kind of thing in our communities right here and in Kankakee and Washington, Iowa, and Iowa City, Iowa, and your town. You're hearing what you're about to hear left and right. Almost every bit of crime and chaos that are committed by these young people that are mental health and troubled, here's what almost all of them are saying. And you can talk to me afterwards. I'll give you name. Stoneman Douglas High down in Florida, the big mass shooting down there. Nicholas Cruz, I can tell you word for word what he said. He was saying things out of the Bible he didn't even know were biblical. Here's where this kind of stuff leads to. Here's a young man who goes, gets a girlfriend, has a little boy. Listen to the 911 call.
And what's the problem? Tell me exactly what happened.
I just killed my son.
What do you mean you just killed your son?
I'm hearing voices.
Oh, okay. How old's your son?
6.
Where's your son now?
He's dead.
Dead where?
In the living room.
All right. Do you have any weapons?
Can you just send in cops?
Yeah, we're doing that now. What's your name?
Matt Pomeranko.
I'm sorry, the first name?
Matt.
Matt? Spell your last name for me, Matt.
P-O-N-O-M-A-R-E-N-K-O.
What's your son's name?
Jack.
Jack?
Jack, J-A-X.
And you said you're hearing voices?
Yes.
All right, how did you kill your son?
We won't go any farther. You're hearing voices? You're hearing voices? These are not people just trying to say that for an emotional get out. You ought to hear the stories of these young people, what they were involved in. You know, it used to be the Ouija boards and the sorcery stuff from back in the day. Satan's gotten right into the homes, and if he can't get them from what's in his right hand, if he can't destroy his little mind, if he can't destroy any creativity of putting Lincoln Logs together, a puzzle together, playing with mom and dad, what mom and dad? What a joke. Then he'll destroy so that he can sit back and laugh and mock God, because God loves that little child. And he got the glory. We see it in culture all around. You would be shocked at all of the movie stars. There's so very few of people that are setting our trends and our culture, setting the direction for our society, that are not wrapped up into Satanism, that don't even know it. Just like preachers, man, they're preaching and they're singing like the brother. I believe the Spirit of God was on him, whether he knew it or not. 250, there's only 300 million people alive today. 250 million albums sold by Celine Dion. My Heart Will Go On, all these famous songs. Satan worshiper to draw in people all over the country. Friends, neighbors, and people out in the community following her. She has a clothing line right here in Kankakee, probably in Bourbonnais, Macy's and Nordstrom and Amazon, called New, 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 New. Here's a commercial for it. Take a look.
They
it's promoted
they
on
tomorrow.
The Today Show.
We may thrust them forward into the future, but the course will always be theirs to choose.
Look at the voodoo dolls in the beds with little children. Look at the voodoo dolls. You see them there? In the beds with the little children. It's one of the most respected and revered in our culture. Look at the new order. You see that? These are little babies. And by the way, this is applauded and talked about on the Today shows, The Views, all of these things. Look at the satanic symbols. These are the clothing. By the way, you can get these locally. You can go buy the clothes. You ought to read the list of the celebrities of today that clothe their children in this. I had a girl come up to me that got out of rehab and said, Pastor, when I'm on crystal meth, why do I see a big eyeball on my hand? She don't even know what she's talking about and the satanic symbols behind it all. Go ahead to the next video of some of the designers that help her create it and just listen to what she says.
Celine wants all kids to find themselves, not just her own. And she hopes her partnership with New 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 will help. The clothes in
new
her
new is,
line
by the way,
are gender neutral. New New has been around for years. Its founders created the fashion line out of necessity when they couldn't find clothing for their own
new
kids.
New New means no,
fashion
no,
has
no.
The power to shape people's mind.
Rebellion.
We're at Celine New New trying to shape the future of all human beings by saying, find your own individuality.
We bring a
There's
new order.
A serpent with Eve.
As a concept.
We bring a new order as a concept. You see it all the time. The concert down in Texas. Here's Tucker talking about a Christian school somewhere around here. Go ahead real quick.
In case you're wondering if it's really a spiritual war we're watching, here's this news story. An Illinois elementary school is offering an after-school Satan Club. The local school district is defending the Satan Club. It's sponsored by the Satanic Temple of the United States. The club claims it will help kids learn benevolence and empathy as well as, quote, personal sovereignty. We're going to the source on the story. Lucien Graves is with the Satanic Temple and joins us tonight.
You can't make up the name either, Lucien Graves. When you see it spelled out later on, we won't show it. It looks like Lucifer Greaves. It's a little crazy. Just this past week, the Disney CEO, all of the workers are coming out because they're not coming out, you know, strong enough. They're all on board of the sodomite agenda for little children. By the way, this law in Florida is only up to third grade, and they're still all losing their minds. So he puts out the statement, I'm committed to this work, and to you all, and we'll continue to engage with the LGBTQ+, which means it's not going to end. Community, you will hear more about our progress in the coming weeks. The company can make, quote, the biggest impact by creating a more inclusive world through the inspiring content we produce. This is last week. We have the world's most creative telling machine engine along with the world's most beloved brands and franchises, which we can bring to life in ways no one else can. We have a portfolio of distribution platforms across the world, including powerful streaming services with the ability to reach audiences anywhere, anytime. We have the number one news organization and the most trusted brand in sports. We have a unique ability to impact culture. The devil always punches early. What's the biggest, I think, sin in America? As you see our cultural sin. Somebody tell me, millions upon millions of people. Abortion, little brains being sucked out, the silent scream. Little children every day right here, miles from this church right here, crying and screaming as they feel the acid and the pain of murder, molestation, pedophilia, pornography. They can shut down the president of the United States Twitter account. They can shut down nations and countries, but they can't shut down the pornography websites. The child pornography websites. Why? Because Satan is behind it. Some of you might have heard about the big official San Francisco choir. They're all wearing the proud shirts. I cannot even show it, but I'll read the lyrics. They come out with the song, It's Not a Joke. The official website and the official choir will convert your children. Happens bit by bit, quietly and subtly, and you will barely notice it. And you'll be disgusted when they start learning things online that you kept far from their sight. We'll convert your children. Yes, we will. Reaching one and all, there's really no escaping it. We're coming for them. We're coming for your children. The gay agenda is coming home. The gay agenda is here. Your children will care about fairness and justice for others. Your children will work to convert all their sisters and brothers. Then soon, we're almost certain your kids will start converting you. By the way, this is what's happening in our liberal churches. It's the precursor to this right here. And that statement, trust me, the devil's behind it. Trust the word of God. But you don't have to worry because there's nothing wrong with standing by our side. Get on board in a hurry because the world always needs a bit more pride. You don't believe me? Just listen to a quick, short clip of it tonight. Go ahead. Just listen to this clip.
Click.
Official endorsed San Francisco choir. That's enough. I have seven children. I really don't like to preach this message tonight, but I'm so burdened for a woke culture with sleeping Christians to be encouraged and courageous and pray and stand instead of playing games with Christianity. So why? Why is all this? Why does the devil hate young people? The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So I'm going to talk about this, Lord willing, a little bit tomorrow as the Lord continues to lead about God's design on your life. And that's really what we're talking about tonight is Satan's design on your life. But God has a special design on your life. You were not an accident. You were not a mistake. God knew that you were going to be born, and he created you for a purpose. The devil knows this. So these are the biblical reasons why the devil hates specifically young people. Number one, salvation. We have two children that are not born again. We have two children at home that are not born again. If the devil can get Charity and I to fail in our marriage, to be lackadaisical Christians, to get out of church, to get out of it, to maybe go to a church or be involved in a church that don't give the clear gospel Sunday after Sunday, there's a heaven, there's a hell, there's God, come unto me, all ye the labor, and the heavy laden, sin will take you to hell, but Jesus will take you to, if he can stop us from doing that, it's all about the next generation, because we're already children of God. He's lost us. The reason why he wants you, and he does want you, youth workers and parents and grandparents, it's so he can destroy the next generation, so he can stop it. Because if he can stop it, there's no new growth. There has to be new growth. Thank God for the young people of Faith Baptist Church. That's the hope of this church. Check out the nurseries. Check out the children's classes. Check out the bus ministry of a church to see if it's still going to be there in another 10, 15, 20 years. And the devil knows this, and he does not want you to get saved. Rarely old people get saved. I won't have you stand tonight and with hands raised. Our time is moving on. But let me just say, very rarely do people get saved once they pass their youth. Secondly, we see it's because young people are programmable. You're not in school. You're not doing pilots when you're in your 50s or 80s. You're programmable. When cement is wet, you can still stick your hand in it and make a mark. But once it's hardened, it's over. And this is a piece of hardware. And the scientists, the tech scientists know that you have to, when you create the hardware, you have to program the hardware with software. And so the devil would much rather program you for further destruction then crash you and throw you away. Though he doesn't mind doing that because the end of Satan is death. And he loves that destruction because it shakes a fist in God. By the way, parents, let me just tell you this. You are programming your children. When you sit at a table and they say no and you have to say it 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 times. Hey, let me tell you something. When you're growing up, that's great. You're working on it. You're working on it. You're working on it. But it's not cute. Because if you had a computer and it glitched and it glitched and it glitched and it wouldn't listen, it wouldn't obey, you'd probably turn it in. And how much more important is a little child that's a computer? Everything you do from before that baby's born to pray for that child. You're putting the Spirit of God and the power of God and the blessings of God and the grace of God and the strength of God and taking them to church. And not every fight you get into, that's a virus into that little computer. And youth pastors and parents, if I can, so as a young man, so plead with you to understand today they are so moldable and still learning as young people, programmable, that every decision you make, it's not about going and having a good time and all the amusement parks and the entertaining of youth groups. God forbid all of that. Thank God we can have fun. Thank God for Cedar River. We're looking forward to being there this summer. But wait a minute. The preaching is why we're going. Why? Because of the programming. Aristotle was attributed to the statement, give me a child until he is 7 and I'll have him for life. I looked it up. I source all of this. I don't want any of this just to be conspiracy. He actually said, though that's a famous statement right there. He actually said in its originality, give me a child until he is 7 and I'll show you the man. I'll show you what he is by the time he is 7. Not only are they programmable, but the specific purpose and calling. My son Aaron, who's 11, he has not been called yet. I'm hoping God calls him into full-time ministry, but I don't know what God has for him. But God is going to call him. If he walks in truth, God's going to use him to win people to Christ, to make a difference as a godly layman. Oh, this, we couldn't be here tonight without godly layman. Only 3% of all of our churches sit on a platform or on staff. Thank God for that other 97%. And God has a specific calling for him. And if the devil can deceive it, he's one. But Brother Angel knows his specific calling. If he can get him off his specific calling, it's so that the next generation will get off their specific calling. But he knows, I'm going to fight him. I'm going to try to discourage him because he's in a place of leadership. New levels, new devils. But I would rather keep one of these young people. I would rather so discourage them and deceive them so they would never find the calling that God has on their life. And then, of course, the obvious is years. I feel like I'm young, but these young men that stood and sang, you have more years than I have if you live the normal life. And then influence. Almost every revival was started by young people. I read of Jonathan Edwards. I want to read this statement really quick. In the 1700s, it said, a young preacher in Northampton, Massachusetts, Edwards had great influence on the youth of his day. Some extraordinary things began to happen in New England. It seemed to be a time of extraordinary dullness in religion. And this writer writes in this magazine, Revival, or this paper back in the day, licentiousness prevailed among the youth of the town. These church kids ignored their parents, walked the streets, and partied all the night. When two young people died unexpectedly, some of Edward's sermons began to get through. The young rebels of the town began to turn to Christ, and it became the Great Awakening. God used this as a part of these segments of the great revivals. It would just take for a young lady in a youth group in a Christian school to say, I love Jesus with all of my heart, and I'm sorry for having bad attitudes and just being selfish and narcissistic and following my own way. I want to follow Jesus with all of my heart. And you might not affect your entire church, but you affect people around you. Great influence, but also messing others up. Amnon did have a friend, and his name was Jonadab. And Amnon thought it was hard to do anything to his sister Tamar, but Amnon had a friend. And the devil knows if he can get you when you're young, he can mess up people who have not yet charted the full course of their life. Thank God that there are young people, older people in this room that the devil had, but you broke the chain. Thank God for that. Let me just quickly, I understand our time tonight. Let me show you a few of Satan's devices that we are not to be ignorant of, young people. Number one, we see in the scriptures the satanic design of a spirit of rejection. When you start in the first mention of the two young people of the Bible, I don't know their age, but I see Cain and Abel. And you see what the devil used first and foremost, and it was a spirit of rejection. He could have said, hey, I'm sorry, I did things wrong. I should have brought the blood sacrifice, but I didn't. And Cain killed Abel, and the Bible says because he was of the father of the devil. Satan can never be forgiven. God is love and acceptance. He really is. I'm not saying accepting your sin. I'm saying Jesus, through Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil is all about rejection. The voices they hear, you're no good. You're not pretty enough. You're not good enough. Your parents, the reason why they got a divorce, the reason this happened, the reason that happened, all of these, the spirit of rejection, Cain and Abel. Obviously, you saw that with Joseph's brothers. Obviously, you saw that in the struggles we're having today because of Isaac and Ishmael and the rejection that to this day Satan has festered in that nation. It'll kill you. If you bring up the Isaac angle, and I understand some of you young people may not get that, but I believe you're listening incredible. You're zoned in and you're like adults sitting here tonight. I believe you're understanding that Satan is wanting you to feel a spirit of rejection that God doesn't want you and you're not good enough and you can never measure up. That's what evolution is all about. This is why suicide's at an all time high. 3 weeks ago, it was real cold and we went to a jump park. We surprised the kids. I said, hey, there's this jump park in Iowa City. Let's go up there where you jump, you know, Planet 3 or whatever it is. And you go up there and you jump. And so they're all out there. I'm like a bunch of little monkeys jumping all over the place. And I was just sitting there with Charity and we were just watching them jump. I had jumped a little while, but man, that was for them. Anyways, the music wasn't too loud that night, but it was still bothering me. And I research, I look up music every once in a while. You can't dwell on it long. You got to play in your worry time, play in your study times. But man, I just, all night long. And this thing is geared towards teenagers and little kids. My son 11's out there jumping. I thought, what exactly is he hearing? Just play a quick clip of that. Just like 5 seconds. This is what was playing in the background. This thing has been playing all night long. These songs. And they are in the malls, in the stores, in the restaurants. And by the way, they're targeting teenage places like that. So I just said, hey, Siri, what song is playing? Or what are the lyrics? You know, you can do that. What are the lyrics? This is what popped up. Hey, Dad, look at me. Think back and talk to me. Did I grow up according to plan? And do you think I'm wasting my time doing things I want to do? But it hurts when you disapprove all along. And now I try hard to make it. And I just want to make you proud. I'm never going to be good enough for you. Can't pretend that I'm all right. And you can't change me. Because we lost it all. Nothing lasts forever. I'm sorry. I can't be perfect. Now it's just too late. And we can't go back. I'm sorry. I can't be perfect. This is a song making millions of dollars. This is an agenda of saying you got to be crippled too high for crutches to be a label, to be a music promoter and say, oh, that's OK. Hey, they're just pumping out whatever sells, not understanding. This is the spirit of rebellion. So when a son and a dad, and I'm like, when I see the words, here's Aaron, we got each other's heart. Man, he's 11. When he gets to 12, 13, if he is hearing this music and these lyrics, it is being written upon the table of his heart. Yeah. Music's very powerful that when dad has to stand up to him. Well, let me continue. I just kept scrolling. I leaned over to Charity, and Charity got tears in her eyes. She says, good night. We better pray more for our children. I try not to think about the pain I feel inside. Did you know you used to be my hero? All the days you spent with me now seem so far away. And it feels like you don't care anymore because Satan's got the dad and all his stupid sports and women and drinking, just doing whatever, sidetracked instead of being a man of God. And it feels like you don't care anymore. And now I try hard to make it. I just want to make you proud because every young man does. Every boy does. I'm never going to be good enough for you. I can't stand another fight and nothing's all right. Nothing's going to change the things that you said and nothing's going to make this right again. Please don't turn your back. I can't believe it's just hard to talk to you, but you don't understand. I'm not perfect. I'm never going to be perfect, and over and over and over again, pumping and song after song after song after song after song in all the places around, in stores and businesses. You don't even know what's playing. I didn't even know those words were playing. And they're just shouting them out. But make no mistake, the devil's preaching longer, harder, louder than we are. My boyfriend don't want me. My mom and dad are too busy. Nobody likes me. The lies of the devil ring in their ears. The video games, a young man dealing with seizures in our church. And I asked him when they started. He said, it's funny. They started when I started to be a gamer. Now he goes into seizures and the spirit of rejection. There are people in this room with dark, cold corners of their heart. It's a little room with a door locked. And nobody's going to open that door. Because you're confused about that door. You're hurt about that door. It's a dark door. Something happened. Was it your fault? Did you bring it on? Should I have done it? Should I have seen it? Should I have participated in it? Why did that person touch me? Why did that person say that? Why did they show me that? Was it me? Did I participate? I don't know. I'm never going to be good enough. I have looked into the eyes of a lady, my wife and I, and they said, but this is what I deserve. And I'm like, no, you're a wonderful, godly. No, this is what I deserve. This kind of guy. No, don't do that. And something, as you unpeel the layers and you see the doors in their life that the devil has crept into, you realize that the devil has placed into them a spirit of rejection. Hey, there is hope tonight and there is help tonight. And thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that covers all, whether it was your fault or not. Let me tell you something. God can forgive and God can love and God can help you to bring you where you need to be. And this is what all of the sodomy is about. These people ought to be put under the jail. Some of these people, in some of the things they're doing, they ought to meet the death sentence. I believe that the sodomite agenda is child abuse, sex abuse. I have had them sit in my office. I've had grown men sit in my office that used to be a woman and encourage me to preach to them. The suicide rates, the average lifespan of 47 years of age, 1,000 partners, the disease, the hatred, the bitterness. And yet the devil still, you can't go anywhere. He's without him programming and programming and programming and programming and programming and programming. We went to the Children's Museum at the Coleridge Mall. And Charity said, every room we walked into, we've seen the pride flag, the rainbow flag. Everywhere you go, it's programmed so that you're not normal and to be rejected. You know, Linkin Park was a very famous group back in the day. And they kind of reached a pinnacle in 2017. Chester Bennington was their lead singer. By the way, I didn't grow up listening to music. I just prayed and God just brought these things to me as I heard preaching, as I studied these truths. And he gives a testimony about all the fans that would write into him. This is what they do to groups. They get in their car and they're having a bad day. Maybe they had a fight with their parents and they get in the car and they listen to their music and they feel a connection. Here's what he has to say about that.
I'll read a letter that they write me. And if it's something like that, you know what I mean? I'll go talk to them and tell them everything's all right, you know. Sometimes, you know, in a lot of cases, our kids write us and they really open up to us and tell us a lot of things that they won't even talk about to their closest friends and their family. And I think they do that because they probably think that we might not read it, or if we do, you know, they probably won't see us again or something, and they won't have the time to, you know, who knows what the process is behind it.
So
but,
special.
You know, a lot of cases, these kids really open up to us, and that's special. That's something special.
Of course, special. The devil
like
wants to take them away from old leather lung preachers like this and like yours to get in the car and to turn to somebody who can maybe help them. Here's his last concert. Here's his last concert. There's a longing. These fans are just, they want to get close to him. This song is One More Light. Who cares if One More Light goes out? I do. It's the same guy. Hey, I think I'll take the songs tonight and worship Jesus. They're worshiping something that they don't even know of. They're deceived and being deceived. They're deceiving and being deceived. People get in their car on their way to work, 16 years of age, drive, tears streaming down their face. I just don't understand why my parents don't trust me. Does anybody care? Does anybody love me? Who cares if one more light goes out? I do. I do. Millions of people. Top of charts. Millions all over the world. You left that concert. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate that. I know it's hard for you guys to show this stuff. I understand that. He goes and commits suicide after that. On the anniversary of his best friend's suicide. And all of these young people in that spirit of rejection and no hope, if it happens, and all over, I mean, the top names throughout our culture and our history over the past 20 years, suicide, drugs, depression, they call it mental health. They put out a statement, "Dear Chester, our hearts are broken." This is the group. "The shockwaves of grief and denial are still sweeping through our families. We come to grips with what has happened. You touched so many lives, maybe even more than you realized. In the past few days, we've seen an outpouring of love and support, both public and private, from around the world. Talking with you about the years ahead together, your excitement was infectious. Your absence leaves a void that can never be filled. A boisterous, funny, ambitious, creative, kind, generous. I believe all of those things. I wish we could have gotten to him and told him about Jesus. Voice was in the room missing. It's missing. We're trying to remind ourselves that the demons who took you away from us were always a part of the deal. After all, it was the way you sang about those demons that made everyone fall in love with you in the first place. And I can hear the cackle of Satan every 40 seconds as somebody takes their life. Not only is it a spirit of rejection, as we see in the scriptures, it's a spirit of lust. I mentioned Proverbs 7. Would you look there quickly tonight? Proverbs chapter number 7. I'll be done fairly soon. Proverbs chapter number 7. We'll bring this to a close. Proverbs chapter number 7. I just want you to see it with your own eyes. Proverbs chapter number 7. The Bible says, "For at the window of my house," verse number 6, "I looked through my casement," verse 7, "and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths," the devil knows the simple ones, "a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house." And it goes on talking about Satan's design to allure. Jump down to verse number 23, "Till a dart strike through his liver, and a bird hasted through the snare, knowing not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many," notice this, "strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." What is this woman who can destroy strong men doing, going after the youths? Just very simply, Satan. He wants to destroy the youth. And this is why all of the pro sports, NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, all of the pro sports put together, their earnings, their income does not come close to the income of pornography in America alone. The pornography industry is bigger than all of the ABC, CBS, CNN, NBC combined. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Nakedness does something powerful to us. And young people, let me just tell you something. God has made you wonderfully, fearfully made, the Bible says. Be very careful as you go on this journey of becoming men and women to bear children and to be a lighthouse and a testimony for God in something, one of the pillars of life called marriage. In family and home, be very careful not to give yourself up, because it is Satan's design. The Bible calls the last days an adulterous generation. So much I'd like to say. I'll add some of the warnings tomorrow. I see my time, but let's go to number 3. Satan's design is not just a design of rejection, a spirit of rejection, a spirit of lust, but a spirit of rebellion. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of what? Witchcraft. I remember standing before my dad. I might tell the story some tomorrow. When my dad said, "No, you're not going to date that girl." And I rose up. I was so angry. Man, that was the spirit of Satan. Now, it was still me. I was listening to Satan. Rose up. "You don't care." There's a spirit of rebellion that just rises up inside of you. But the word of God will make it flee. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. long time ago, before my day, the Beatles came in. You know what the message they brought? Rebellion. Don't listen to culture. Don't listen to this old school way, this Christian heritage. And then Satan's just kept his Beatles on down through the years. Just like this famous singer, one of the most wicked, horrible singers that's caused people to commit suicide, get on drugs, alcohol, horrible, horrible, horrible things. His name was Alice Cooper, his stage name Alice Cooper. Listen to what he has to say. Listen.
You know, I'm the prodigal son, for one thing. I'm the perfect example of the prodigal son.
Wicked.
My dad was a pastor. My grandfather was an evangelist. Actually, both my dad and my grandfather were evangelists. And my wife's father is a Baptist pastor. So I grew up in the church, and all of my friends were church kids. I had so much fun. I mean, I was in church on Sunday, Wednesday night, Friday nights. I mean, all my social life was based around kids in the church. And that was great. And it got to high school, and all of a sudden, the Beatles came out. And I went, oh. Well, that's kind of, you know, and I was a natural mimic anyways. So I watched the Beatles and I said, well, that would be fun to do. Being in a hit band with hit records and is getting as big as we got is like winning the lottery about three times. It just doesn't happen. You know, we were definitely the underdogs in the whole thing. And we kept going.
You hear the story over and over and over again, bringing a spirit of rebellion. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to listen. Young people tonight say, Satan's not going to have my ears. Satan's not going to have my heart. Let me close with this. We see when we start with God's child Eve in the in the Garden of Eden, the last is a spirit of doubt. There are young people that grow up in Christian school, and if you really pin them down, some will say, I don't even know if God exists. How do you believe that? The Bible says he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I think that's one of the most important verses for teenagers to memorize. And that he's a rewarder. You got to have answered prayer. You got to believe by faith that God is, and that he is a good, good God. I love that song that we sang tonight. And in Timothy, Paul, the book of 2 Timothy, Paul is trying to challenge young Timothy to hold to the scriptures that he had known from a little child. And that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, 3:15, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He's trying to instill in him confidence in the scriptures that he has. And he's reading out of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. And it is the inspired, perfect word of God. Well, a translation you're going to hear when you get to college sometimes or get older, a translation can never be good enough. Oh, really? Paul heard. He wrote in New Testament Greek, and I heard God speaking on the Damascus Road, and he spoke in the Hebrew tongue. And then Paul translates it, and God calls it holy, and God calls it inspired. Let me tell you something. This King James Bible is the Word of God, and the devil will try to get you to undermine it. Really, what it's doing is so that you don't have a book that you can hold in your hand to say, this is the Word of God. I can trust it. I don't have to critique it. I don't have to correct it. It is the Word of God. I'll play one last and final clip tonight, but this is where it leads. And this is a Southern gospel artist speaking. Mark Lowry is his name. And a lot of young people follow. This is, look, I understand. I know. I've talked to people in this industry. You couldn't find a Bible in most of these concerts from anything else. They don't follow the Bible. It's all about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, which Jesus? The Bible says, I've exalted my word above all my name. Listen to what they say about the Word of God.
The Message Bible. If you lay them side by side. You know, I really think they will help you understand the KJV.
Absolutely. 100%.
It is not the one and only. You know, there's the NLT, there's the NIV, and the thing, all of them. But the thing is, none of them are the Word of God.
That's where it's leading to. That's where it's leading to. So what is the answer tonight? We're finished. What is the answer? The Bible says in James 4:7. Would you write that down, teenagers? James 4:7. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You don't have to be discouraged tonight. Young men down here on the front row, I told my wife, I said, I feel sorry for them little boys. They don't know what's coming. But they don't have to worry. They don't have to fear. If you say yes to Jesus, at all cost and no to Satan. Satan using the world to attract your flesh, your desires, your way. And you ask God for wisdom and you seek his face and you're very, very careful. Look, as a young man, even in Bible college and out of Bible college, I had to get my eyes open real wide to even be careful in Christian circles that I was not influenced or pulled in a way that they didn't even know they were pulling or influencing, but that it was Satan trying to destroy the future of my marriage or my children or our church or the cause and calling that God has for my life. Be sober, be vigilant, be submissive day by day. Make every day a yes day for Jesus. Because when one day is not a yes day for Jesus, it's a yes day for Satan. And he wants you. He desires to have you, as Jesus said of Peter. He wants you. He wants to have you. He wants you for a trophy. If you're not saved tonight, I don't care if you've gone to a Christian school your whole life. You need to get it right in your heart to say, I am a sinner. I'm of my father, the devil, and I don't care anything about God. Man, none of this, I want to go my way. I want to do my own thing. Tonight, give your heart and life to Jesus Christ and turn to him. If you're sitting here and you're riding the fence, let me tell you something. You don't want to end up on the other side. And you can do what millions have done down through the history of Christianity and say, well, he don't really know, and I'm going to be the exception. Find out if you want to find out. But I don't want to be on the devil's side. I want to be sober and vigilant and understand that we have an enemy. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, thank you for your patience tonight. They did not tell me when to quit. I understand that I've preached long, and I appreciate you that have driven far. I know it's late. But here's what I want you to do. Parents, I want you, if you walk away with anything tonight, I want you to walk away with this thought. I need to pray more for my children. I need to program them more. Youth pastors, parents, school leaders, I want you to have a greater burden just to draw closer to God, to keep the good old music going and the Bible preaching hot and the standards high. Because let me tell you something, the devil is looking for weakness. And many times he finds it in young people when they see hypocrisy, when they see fleshliness, when they see an open door in your life. So let me challenge you that way. And young people, let me just challenge you to surrender your whole life to the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek his face, to say yes to Jesus in every area. And if you're not, make tonight that night. The piano's going to play. Would you stand to your feet? I encourage you to come and make a decision tonight. Just a warning message tonight. Just a message to say, hey, let me just tell you something. The devil is real. He's not Fluffy Bunny. He's not some fantasy or fairy tale. He's real. And he wants young people. He wants to destroy you. He has a special target on your back. He wants to get you. It's true. He's not some boogeyman. He's a very, very tech savvy, smart, destructive Satan who wants to have you, to tear you, to destroy your life. If you're feeling the spirit of rejection tonight, just come and say, God, I know that you love me. I'm accepted into the blood because I trust you as my personal Savior. Tonight, I'm sorry for not accepting your love. You'll never love others and never be able to live for God until you accept the love of God in your life and to get right with God and to stand in the holy presence of God and say, Lord, tonight I come to you and I ask for a hedge of protection and strength. I give my life to you. I understand that we're preaching to the choir tonight, good kids, but it was a service just like this in the 11th grade that I was called to preach. And I was a church kid. I was what some would call a good kid. Man, I was so burdened to say, you know what? I need to wake up and stop goofing around for my generation. Maybe that's you tonight. Man, go to the mission field and tell these people in darkened countries that Jesus saved. Go to the mission field of America and take the light of the gospel. Thank you, Pastor Angel and Brother Bragg. I appreciate it.
We're in no hurry. It's all right. You pray.